We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Ron Coomer. And Ron, we have a special attraction. Danny Parkins filling in this morning for David. And Ron joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, Coom.
Good morning, Mikey. Danny, how are you guys? How are you boys doing?
Well, we're living great. The dream. Are you kidding? This is what it's all about, buddy. Happy Good
dream.
Friday. Yeah. So listen, Ron, we're looking at the Cubs. We're talking about big picture stuff because of the off day. And it's interesting just talking to Gordon about the kind of the guys in slumps, right? The idea that that Bryant isn't hitting as well as you would have expected. The idea that once again, a slow start from Anthony Rizzo. And what do we make of where Kyle Schwarber's at? And having said that, his response is, I say, well, you know, we know Anthony Rizzo's coming back. I don't say that about Chris Bryant. And I guess the reason I don't is because I'm suspicious that he's injured, even though everyone says he isn't. But something's going awry with him that doesn't make sense to me the way slow start for Rizzo makes sense to me.
Well, I don't know if he's injured. That I don't know. To me, he's got some mechanical things going on with his swing, and it's coming and going. His swing is getting long and a little bit on the loopy side at times, and then it comes back. Now, the last game in Miami, it came back, and, you know, he was shortening up his stroke, and it was better. He hit a line drive bullet to left. He hit a couple balls the day before that to right that were really good, you know, and the ballpark kind of got him. It's just a really big park. So for KB, I can see, you know, things starting to work a little bit better. And Kyle, I think Kyle started getting away from what he was doing earlier, and that's trying to hit the ball the other way. And Joe saw that, and I think Joe just gave him a couple days off to just kind of recalibrate. But, you know, young players are going to have their struggles. That's just the way it is. I don't care how good they are. And, you know, for Kyle, that's the case. Anthony, it's kind of odd because you just don't see him struggling. In the last ball game, he was a little out of whack, and it's good that the other guys are picking them up, but they're going to hit. You know, all three of them are quality hitters, so I don't see that being a long-term problem.
But Rizzo consistently slumps in April. You have a theory?
I don't. I don't, Danny. You know, sometimes you play in this weather, and some guys just aren't very good playing in, you know, 40-degree weather, and they're going to play in it again today. It's going to be really cold and breezy, so I don't have a theory, to be honest with you.
Yeah, career batting average for Rizzo in April or March, .234 with a OPS of .809, both by far the lowest of any month splits over the course of his career.
Doesn't make sense, right? I don't have that answer because he swings the bat pretty good in spring training too, but it's also warm, and then he gets here. And some of it, if you play a lot of ball games at Wrigley, some of it is the Wrigley Field effect too, with the cold air and the wind blowing in. You know, the high deep fly balls don't go in the seats; they end up getting caught right in front of the track.
Ron, obviously, the pregame begins today at 12:45 here on The Score with Zach, and you guys start the game at 1:20, and we'll see Kyle Hendricks, and maybe we'll see a quality start. And I love this. We have a texter who wants to ask you, is it the juiced ball or the slick ball, whatever's going on with the baseball? Is that why Kyle has started slow?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I don't know if we have a juice ball, to be honest with you. I know there's some theories about that out there floating around, but I think for Kyle, it's he's making some pitches, you know, some bad pitches. He's throwing the ball in the middle of the plate, and he's elevating his pitches a lot more early in the year, and he's getting hit. And when he elevates his pitches in the middle of the plate, like any other pitcher, you know, you're vulnerable. And for Kyle, that's what's happened to him at times so far this season. He's got for me, any guy that doesn't throw real hard, if you're struggling at all, if you start pounding hitters inside and making them aware of your fastball in for strikes and balls, but pitching to the inside part of the plate, all of a sudden what that does is the hitter's got to be aware of that pitch. I don't care how hard it is. And then that opens up the outer part of the plate. And I think, you know, we might see that from Kyle today, just having a little more command to that inside part of the plate, and then, you know, maybe getting some soft contact on some pitches away.
Coom, we're about a week away from Addison Russell being able to begin his minor league rehab assignment. And I was thinking about what Joe did with Zagunas and KB last week when he said, you know, he wanted to give KB the day off, but also some guys are just better suited to being pinch hitters, because if you're a regular everyday guy, it's hard to just come in cold in the ninth inning. In theory, a lot more guys are going to need to, you know, be able to perform in short spurts once Russell's back and there's more of a position player logjam. Who do you think is most conducive to be productive in short spurts versus who needs to play the whole game in order to get the most out of their production?
Well, the one guy that to me is the perfect pinch hitter because of his abilities in his short swing is Descalso. He has a stroke a lot like LaStella did last year. Real short swing, uses the whole field. He's going to be the guy that's going to end up getting more pinch hit opportunities, I got to believe. And that's part of the reason the Cubs brought him in, is because he is good at that. So he will be the guy that will pinch hit, and I believe Addison, if he is prepared to play, he will go to short, and Javi will go back to second base.
That Descalso is such a good clutch hitter. At least he has been to begin the season. I didn't know he was that good. When they got him, I didn't know he was that good. He's been really, really good, Ron.
Yeah. Mike, there's some guys, and you know this, you don't appreciate their abilities until you get to see them every day. You know, he was with some good teams, and you know, you saw him have good at-bats, but you see him for 3 days and then they leave town, right, or you leave town. When you see a guy day in and day out, like we've seen Descalso, he just gives you a quality at-bat all the time. The other thing, too, is he really knows what he wants to do. So he puts pressure on the opposing pitcher by not chasing. He's beat the shift I don't know how many times this year already. I just love when guys do that. Him and Zobrist just make my day every day. When they shift them all to the right side when they're hitting left hand and they just roll the ball the other way, I'm like, God, it's just, I can't wait till teams just keep getting burned night after night after night shifting. So he can do that and do it really well.
I'll be honest, it sometimes pains me, though. I know he's struggling, but when Schwarber lays down that bunt to beat the shift, even though he's good at it, it's like, I want to see Kyle Schwarber swing away.
Yeah, I like him swinging. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the bunt to beat the shift. Not for the big guys, the guys that can swing it and hit the ball out of the yard. But I definitely, especially when Kyle gets behind the count, to shoot the ball the other way, I got no problem with that. But the bunting thing, I'm not a huge fan of the bunting. But, you know, I know some of the guys are doing it. Even Anthony's done it a few times this year.
The opening of the season set panic and kind of changed the way we were looking at the Cubs and the bullpen issues. That's all settled down. Now they come back, and obviously Miami's not a great team, but you load up on them like you're supposed to, and now you have a chance to get back to 500. What's the mood around these guys? Is there a growing confidence? Is it once you get to 500, you restart the season sort of thing?
Yeah, I think they've already kind of hit the reset button. Mike, I really do. When you saw him on the plane the other day, and you see guys having fun, enjoying what just happened. You sweep, and yeah, Miami's not a good team, not at all. but you still got to play the games and you still want to win those games. And they won all three and they played good. So I really do. I think once you get a few good ball games behind you and you get some good bullpen outings behind you from up and down the bullpen, right, then all of a sudden you could see the team kind of hit that reset button. And I think they have already. Yep.
Hey, Coom, when we had Gordon Whitmire on, he said that one thing that could be backfiring is when you give out the lineup ahead of a series, and so a guy knows that he's going to be in, you know, two of the 3 days, but if something changes and you want to bench him, he mentioned Zagunas in the Atlanta series, then it looks like it's a demotion, as opposed to what was happening last year was where the guys were coming in and finding out the lineup and they were thinking about it on a day-by-day basis and not knowing when they were going to play and putting pressure on from that. When you were a player, did you prefer to know about it ahead of time, or was it, you know, if I'm in the lineup, I'm in it, and if not, I'm not?
I would prefer to know that I was in it the night before, but, you know, Tom Kelly sure as heck didn't care if I wanted to know or not. He didn't. He kept chewing that cigar and just be happier in the lineup when I put you in there. That was TK. And the only time I really knew I was in the lineup was Joe Torre, and it was real simple. If it was a left-hander on the mound, I was playing third. If it was a right-hander on the mound, Robin Ventura was playing third. So we knew that was just the way it was going to be. So, this is the way they wanted it. I don't think that's going to happen too often where a guy gets taken out after he's already told he's going to be in the lineup. That's not how Joe handles things. It's going to happen on occasion, but the guys wanted to know they're in the lineup 3 days in advance. They get to know they're in the lineup 3 days in advance. I don't think it's, you know, I think that's going to happen so few and far between that I don't think that's an issue.
Ron, thanks a ton. Have a great day. Should be a lot of fun this weekend.
Boys, you guys enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll be at Wrigley.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
take
Coom.
Care. That is Ron Coomer, the Cubs radio analyst, and again, one of the 50 men behind the scenes making life better for all of us.
When are we going to Coom's Corner? We've been talking about it for so long.
You guys haven't been? I feel shame.
We need to go.
Oh, look at Danny. Oh, you haven't been? Like, I mean, that was... That's I got a mark on my face from that backhand.
We were there for the Open.
Of course you were. You know, we start at 5 in the morning, in case you forgot.
Yeah, they brought all the portions to you and everything, just like a...
I heard it's crazy.
You know, first thing, it was a jalapeno poppers, we had the buffalo wings, and had a burger, and had some dessert, a couple beers.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Way to wait till 8 in the morning to get that one out.
Getaway day, baby.
Yeah, good for you, going out of town for a week.
he's trying to insult you before he gets on an airplane.
That's
nice
smart.
One, Kevin.
That's smart. Yeah,
that's right.
A little drive-by.
You're lucky there's glass between us.
Side swipe there. But yeah, it was delicious. I had a burger, I had some salmon, I had some fries, good beer selection. It was lovely.
All right, it's Mully and Haw. He's Danny Parkins at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 at the Score.
Eloy hits it in the air right field. Castellanos, warning track and the wall. It is gone! Mount Eloy erupts again. Go indoors. It's 3-2.
That worked in Pompeii. Just go indoors, right? You'll be preserved forever. Once the eruption occurs at the volcano that is.
Mount Eloy erupts for the first time.
Benetti is so smart that I'm wondering if there's a reference that we're just not getting.
You Googled it. There has to be. Is someone said somewhere in the Philippines there is a Mount Eleon or something? I don't know.
Yeah, but again, I Googled it and nothing really came up, so...
Mount Eloy erupts again!
I wonder if he just thinks he's a mountain of a man.
Stoney said on the broadcast yesterday, it was fascinating to hear him say it, but he talked about Mount Eloy. I can't use that as a nickname. It's not fair.
We can get a better one.
It's awful. But he said that he really thinks Eloy has got an unbelievable future for himself. He used the letters HOF. He used the words that make up those letters.
Wow, Jimmy Hoffa.
Let's take a listen to Stoney.
Before that hit, you said you believe he's going to Cooperstown.
Yeah, I believe when I saw him the first time, I looked at the balance, I looked at the strength, I looked at what he could do. with a baseball in any quadrant, all four quadrants, whether it's up, down, in, out, he's able to handle it. And I think just the fact that he struck out on a ball away that time kept him on that slider away, and he took it out to right field. He's got a lot of baseball smarts. He does some adjustments that most young hitters don't do, and he'll do it within the course of a game.
I was going to say, some people are an adjuster at heart. Some people just know how to manipulate what they do to match the counterattack from another player.
Well, look, he's going to swing the same. It's just a different thought process. When a pitcher gets him out a certain place, he knows eventually he's going to go back there.
That is quite a compliment.
Wow.
First time you saw him, he covers all quadrants and Hall of Fame.
Obviously, Steve Stone has forgotten more about baseball than all of us know combined.
No question.
Damn, that's high praise for a guy
Well, in the break, we were talking, and you have a great question about the White Sox.
In the afternoons, Mac is a bad Sox fan, self-described. So Tanny's the only good Sox fan that I get to talk to. But I get to talk to you and Z-Pac this morning, and I'm wondering how you guys are defining success for the White Sox rebuild. And if I gave you the Mets, and I said, you know, you get a pennant, but it's not sustained success.
Well, that's been the fear all along of the when you rely on pitching as when the Cubs did their rebuild, they zigged when everyone was zagging. They went out and got all the hitters and they loaded up that way. The Sox have done it in a different fashion. They're getting pitching, and Dane Dunning is injured, right? Giolito is out right now, but he hasn't broke through yet. I thought maybe he was going to have a great outing the other day, but I don't know where Giolito is at in terms of long term. Kopech, obviously a centerpiece of this thing, he's out injured. A lot of these guys have gone down with arm problems, including the most essential one in Michael Kopech. Cease has already had the surgery, so he's on his way back, or he's on his way, I should say.
He looks good.
The reason he didn't get drafted higher is because he was coming off a surgery. I don't know, Danny. That scares me, the comparison with the Mets, just because it was a temporary thing. And everybody kind of – and, you know, you saw Matt Harvey as the greatest thing ever, and he was the Dark Knight. Now he's just some washed-up kind of Spider-Man from another dimension, if we can stick with the superhero reference. Have you seen that movie?
I think I followed.
Kevin, have you seen it yet?
I still have not.
No. Damn you. I've got it. I bought it. I'm going to lend it to you. Into the multiverse.
Yeah, yeah. I
into still the multiplex.
The multi-universe, yeah. Multiverse, whatever
great,
it is.
Great movie.
You know, back in 2016, when the Cubs were so dominant and they won the World Series, of course they had a lot of good young hitters, but the main reason they won was because of Lester and Arrieta and Hendricks and even Lackey and Hamill in the regular season. I mean, they're pitching.
Yes.
It's not like they were this one-sided
team. But they didn't build. They went and acquired it, right? They didn't try to build it from within.
Well, that's because Theo can't develop pitchers. We all know that already.
Okay, of course.
But I think it is a little bit of a misnomer that you know, thinking that the White Sox have only tried to acquire pitchers. Of course,
or the pitchers are the only ones getting injured.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Louis Robert has been injured quite a bit himself. But they have, obviously, Moncada, and they just drafted Madrigal. They've drafted
Berger,
which hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
Your guy, Zach Collins, in the first round as well. They've tried to balance it out a little bit. But I think since none of the pitchers have really hit so far, with the exception of maybe Kopech last year early.
Right.
But he got hurt, so we don't really know what to expect there.
Yeah. Giolito looked like he was finished, and now he's gotten a little bit better. Help me out. Birdie, right? Zach Birdie blew out his shoulder, too. And that's a guy that was on his way as the closer. And, you know, local kid, loved the White Sox growing up. That was going to be a fun one. It's just it damages me psychically when these guys get hurt on the way up.
I just think it's a bigger deal that they've missed on so many draft picks. I mean, you mentioned Birdie and Collins.
Carson Fulmer pitched last
Fulmer
night.
Fulmer was a super high pick, as well. Berger has not even played at all. So I think it's more of the fact that they've been missing on too many of the high draft picks, and hopefully with Madrigal coming up, maybe end of this year, next year, we'll see, that can buck the trend a little bit.
And I know that if this is like the Matrix situation and it's red pill, blue pill, and the red pill is, you know, you're the Mets and you don't get a World Series, and the blue pill is, you'll see, Sox fans are taking the blue pill because no one wants to sign on the dotted line for anything less than a World Series. It's just most of the rebuilds don't work, and I think the Sox, because of monetary reasons, have less of a margin for error than other teams. They've already
really stepped up.
They've already had the injuries. Missing out on Tatis, right? Trading Tatis.
Oh,
the Cubs got
We don't bring that up. We don't talk about that here.
My bad. That is a name that shall not be mentioned.
Triggered? My bad.
Oh, no. That was on the cover of USA Today yesterday, and I was on tilt. Oh, my God. I opened up the... See, pride of the Padres.
It's terrifying. But like the Cubs had to get
baseball
lucky.
Awestruck. That was the headline.
Guys, this is where you have a problem with looking at past drafts, because I Googled the 2015 draft where Carson Fulmer was the eighth pick. Ian Happ, by the way, was the ninth pick, so that's not exactly working out for either side, by the way. But from this very same college, Walker Buehler from the Dodgers went 24th overall. Well, you know, he's pretty good, so...
Thanks.
I'm sorry to do that, but I love those random little things like that.
When was Mike Trout taken, and who did the White Sox take earlier than that?
Jared Mitchell.
It was one of those.
You remember the Jared Mitchell era?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Who could forget it?
Well, and the Cubs got so lucky, right? If the Astros draft Bryant instead of Mark Appel, they don't have Chris Bryant. So it just
And look at the Astros. That nothing ever happened with them.
Yeah. Well, they were just a murderer's row.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Some of the snowflakes today, some of the biggest I have ever seen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Delighted to have Danny Parkins with us this morning.
Delighted to be here.
We've had a lot of fun. Thank you for getting up with us, Danny. And, you know, one of the questions that you asked that I thought was very interesting during the break is, who's going to have the better career for the White Sox? Will it be Moncada? You love the skill set there.
Yeah.
Or will it be Aloy? And again,
I'm doing a good show during the break.
He's going to the Hall. It's very interesting. He's going to the Hall of Fame, as Tony told us, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think will have the better career?
Man, I mean, I thought it was a lock that it would be Eloy.
Yes.
Because he was scouted by Theo.
There you go.
but Moncada has seemed to turn the corner, and he seemed to me, he's got the upside of best player in baseball type stuff, just because he seems like he can do everything. He's got speed. He's a switch hitter. He plays a premier defensive position. So it's like, if he hits, and he actually is Robinson Cano offensively with speed and defense, that's the proverbial five-tool player.
Yes.
So his skill set and how he's turned the corner this year makes it a legitimate debate for me.
I think it has to be Aloy.
You do?
Yes, because if it isn't, I got to tell you, I'm going to lose some faith in what they're doing. I really need Aloy to be all that.
But, I mean, they traded Sale, and the main piece was to get Moncada, right?
The main piece was Kopech, right? Had that shifted?
Moncada was like the number one prospect in baseball at that point, but kind of a 1A, 1B type situation, you know, elite pitching prospect, elite offensive prospect.
Sale, Moncada Sale, had by made the way, his debut already. That
he
was
had, yeah, yeah. He's a little more.
Sale's finished
advanced,
now, right?
So
we can agree on that, because he decided. I thought maybe he'd come back to the White Sox, but he decided to sign a contract extension there, and that's the end of Chris Sale. Can we agree? Is that what's happened here?
Yeah, I think we can all agree that Chris Sale will never be good again. If that's what you're looking for,
that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, but I just. You know, you traded Quintana and you get Eloy and Cease, but you trade Sale and you get Moncada and Kopech. Like, I don't know who has to be the best. I know that there are some people who think that Luis Robert might have a higher ceiling than Eloy. So I don't know that it has to be Eloy.
You know
Eloy.
What? That would be awesome. Because Luis Robert is like, he's like the international man of mystery. He was like, they signed this guy and they gave him this money and he's going to be great. And then you go and you try to see a game and, oh no, he's not playing. He's had this injury, he's had that injury. And then I went to training camp, not this year, but last year, and I never saw him because he had already gone down to the and so I'm kind of like, who is this guy? And then finally this year, my son and I were there and we saw him hit like a triple and it was spectacular and you saw him run and you just saw the whole package. And now I'm in love with the kid.
Well, and I honestly, I think it's arguably the most impressive move that Rick Hahn has made since the rebuild has started. Because sometimes when I say this, people take it to be a hater, and I don't mean it to be. I think it's just a statement of fact. The easy part is trading good players and acquiring good prospects.
Okay.
Right?
Hard part is building that up.
Yeah, but if you were the GM and you had Chris Sale, Adam Eaton, and Jose Quintana under good contracts, mm-hmm. and you were told trade them, you could look at Baseball America lists and you could go to organizations who are interested and say, give me your 1, 2, and 3 prospects, and you'd get good prospects back.
That's fair enough.
But Luis Robert, you had to maximize your international spending.
Yes.
He had options. He chooses you. Right. There's the pipeline
you
with Jose
Abreu. Moncada.
Like, that to me showed
him.
Right. That showed a real commitment to expanding and diversifying how you were going to acquire prospects.
By the way, is that market closed off now because of the new Cuban policy? Did you read any of that stuff?
I did read about it. I don't think it's closed off because it was never closed off.
Well,
it was just a lot more dangerous.
I guess, yeah. Are we back to trying to deal with a cartel to get a great player in here? Is that, I mean, where are they?
Potentially. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to speak definitively, but I mean, you know some of those stories. I mean,
yeah,
Kendrys Morales, you know Kendrys Morales' story? He tried to, be in exile and make the boat trip, like, 8 or 9 times and kept getting deported back. His mom fell out of the boat and he had to save her and then he got arrested and he had to eat a passport.
That was what Abreu did.
Abreu ate the passport. Yeah. Sorry. I conflated the two stories.
Puig was the one that was basically dealing with some cartel. Did he come in through Mexico?
Yeah.
And that was a very scary story out in LA that they had control of his career and a certain percentage of his earnings. That's a very scary story.
It's terrible.
The Puig story. And certainly the idea of Abreu trying to eat a passport on the way in. I mean, hot sauce? How do you lively that up a little bit?
Yeah,
it sounds rather bland, quite frankly.
Cholula?
Frank's hot sauce, they put that blank on everything.
Man.
What about some of that Jordan Air? You can put it on your shoes.
Whatever works, man. That desperation. Do you think you could do it? You think you could eat a passport? I said, here's $100,000. You think you eat your passport?
Yeah, for $100,000.
There's a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Dude, you got $1,000 on you right now? I'll eat Kevin's passport. He won't be able to go out of town.
I was going
to
say, I'd do it for $100.
$100?
You're exaggerating. A grand would probably do it.
Grand easy, yeah.
Yeah.
The passport book is pretty thick.
That's
there's
what
a
I'm
lot,
saying.
No, you just eat the one page. I'm not eating the whole book.
Oh, I'm saying you got to eat the whole book.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, that's what I was saying. Obviously, I'll eat one piece of paper.
Okay,
I mean,
could you swallow it in one piece and then maybe
I don't know.
Maybe get it back?
That was more my question.
You walk up to the custom agent, sir, what has happened here?
Where is your passport? Give me a couple minutes.
Give me a minute, yeah. Oh, God.
I guess when horrible. I always heard the story of he ate his passport, I assumed he ate the passport, not just the sheet of paper, but maybe I'm as big of an idiot as the text line thinks I am.
I think you just ate the one page, right?
Okay. Well.
They say that about everybody. It's, you know how
the text line is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not any better in the morning than it is in the afternoon.
I didn't think it would
be.
You know what's funny? It's like we sit here, we're talking about Aloy, and he could be a Hall of Famer and that stuff, and we have a texter saying, what are you worried about? You gave up a fourth or fifth starter for him. That's like,
that's not funny.
You know that, but it's like, you know, really, you didn't give up anything. So you may as well. Yes. Yeah. He's a genius
jerk.
I love that guy.
Yeah. He's the best.
He is.
Hey, Quintana, man, he's great right now.
No, he is. I'm glad because I've always liked Quintana and I wanted him to do well. And the idea that I have to come in every morning after one of his starts and catch it from Dustin.
For one day, he was the best pitcher in Chicago.
And what's wrong with that? And then the next day, it was Cole Hamels. But you know what? What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
You like having your pitchers trade off being the best pitcher in Chicago.
I hope at 6 o'clock tonight, it's Kyle Hendricks, okay?
My kind of Cubs fan.
There you go.
Right there.
But he's not your kind of Cubs fan.
No,
he's very demanding, and he's very unreasonable.
Every game counts.
Yes. Dustin, is this a must-win game today with the with Hendricks?
I think it's
pump?
A statement game for Kyle Hendricks is what I think it is. I don't know if it's must-win, but I think it's a statement game for Kyle Hendricks.
Those are the two categories.
A statement categories. To who?
To him that he's back.
How about himself and the people that gave him all that money? How about we'll start there. Himself and the people that gave him the money.
There are two categories of games, right? One is the statement game. The other is the must-win.
Mm.
The Cubs, game three of the Marlins series was what, Dustin?
A must-win.
That was a must-win.
Must-win.
It's thank a God very early must-win.
Thank God for the snow out, or Joe would have gotten exposed in that game.
All right, since we've opened Dustin's Pandora's box here, I have to
this
ask him
fascinating.
You were so worked up about Tim Anderson and the bat flip the other day because it was a quote-unquote, you know, meaningless game just to go ahead.
Yeah, it was the time in the game that he did it.
To take the lead versus the Royals, and you didn't think that warranted a bat flip. Let's say today Javi Baez crushes one onto Waveland and tosses the bat 500 feet as well.
As if he'll never need it again.
As if he'll never use it again through the wind to go up 2-0 on the Diamondbacks today in like the fifth inning.
And shame on Javi Baez.
Well, you won't like it?
No, I will not like it.
Wow.
Now,
okay.
to
now if Contreras does it, if Wilson
off,
does it.
To walk off and win the game, fine. To put them up 2-0, no.
But wait, then how is it a big game or a statement game or a must-win game if it's not a
thank
significant
you.
Game?
No. That's apples and oranges. We're talking about spiking a bat versus winning a game. That's different. People try to compare the
Anderson's
Blackhawks
thing
playing
gave
Chelsea's
him a chance to win
dagger.
The game.
They were trying to compare the Blackhawks should stop playing Chelsea's dagger. I'm not saying you can't celebrate a positive thing in a game. You don't need to spike the bat into the ground.
It's not Chelsea's dagger. It's the Chelsea dagger. Chelsea's a place.
I always thought it was a woman named Chelsea who just carried a dagger
in
around.
London.
And
I think it's about a strip club,
it's
right?
It's 8:53 on a get out of here Good Friday, and you still got to correct me?
I'm not correcting you.
What was that then?
I was worried that Danny was trying to use logic on you, and he was heading for trouble.
I'll never do it again.
I've instructed students at the Illinois Media School to try to drop the use of the word "the" to use as few "the"s as possible.
Really?
Yes.
You don't like the definite article?
It's kind of an important word in the language.
Not in spoken word. It's not. Maybe
I had
written,
a,
but not
I had
spoken.
A professor who loved poetry so much that he would say things like, "We're going to study the Keats, then we'll study the Shelley." He gave the definite article to poets' names, and I loved it.
Do you have a
the
tool?
Keats, the Shelley, the Yeats.
Do you have a way to get them to stop saying the word "the"? Is there an exercise that you do?
Yeah, 10 push-ups.
10-foot, okay.
Is this the Illinois
in
Media
class.
School or the Illinois Military Academy? What the hell are you doing over in Lombard?
He's making men of them, even if they're women. All right, that's Dustin.
He's a
different cat.
So much.
You know what? The man is a genius, though. I must say, radio savant Dustin Rhodes, I've learned very much at the feet of the master, as have you, Kevin, whether you admit it or not.
Some kind of savant.
It is, there you go. See, he admits it. All right, we are now going to bring in Dan and Connor, and it's going to be curious to have to talk transition with them because, Danny, you know them too. So
I used to do transition with them.
And the whole, it's like, it's just the worlds colliding.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
It's Mully and Haw. He's Danny Parkins.
How's that?
Chicago Sports
Did I stick
Radio.
A landing?
You gotta sing, man. You gotta have a song in your heart. Chicago Sports
we're
Radio.
We're not really going to get much into that.
670 the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.